Last Sunday morning, we spent some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 talking about the Apostle Paul going down into Macedonia, receiving a special offering for the struggling Christians in Jerusalem. This morning, I'd like to just move over one chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're reading for our text verses 1 through 9. Paul writes, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help." And I particularly like the way the King James Version translates that, as it says, "I know the forwardness of your minds. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." Now, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to his Christian friends in Corinth. And he's paying them about as fine a compliment as any church could receive. As he says to them, "I know the forwardness of your minds. I know your eagerness to help." In other words, you're a people who are always ready to go forward in the Lord's work. Your influence and your example have encouraged many. And I'm proud of you. He says, "I brag about you wherever I go. I brag about you even to the Macedonians, who out of their poverty gave liberally to help the poor struggling Christians in Jerusalem." And yet Paul would even brag to them about the Macedonians. And I want to come this morning to say that there are several reasons that I believe this church will continue now to go forward as you stand poised and ready to receive a new pastor and to move into a new chapter of your church's history. I believe you're able to go forward. First of all, this church stands ready to go forward because God has promised to go with you. I was reminded this morning of the story of the two little boys who were out playing together one day. One of them looked at the other one and he said, "Why does that new little baby at your house cry so much?" Well, the first little boy was a little bit offended by that question. His feelings were a little bit hurt. And so he looked over at his playmate and he said, "Well, if you didn't have any hair on your head and you didn't have any teeth in your mouth, and your legs were so weak you couldn't stand up, you might cry too." Well, of course, the point is we would be just about that weak. if God did not go with us. Without the presence and the help of God, we would be that helpless. But our God is with us, and nothing is too hard for him. You remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, he sent some men to spy out the promised land. This was an intelligence operation. And today we would consider these intelligence men. They were like CIA agents. But if you remember the story, every single group but one came back and they said, why, there's no way that we can possess the land. Why, they're giants in the land. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. And they said, what's more than that? We're as grasshoppers in our own sight. And now I would submit to you today that it wasn't so bad when they said, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. But when they said, we're as grasshoppers in our own sight, why, it just showed what a low opinion, what a small opinion they had of themselves. And it just cast gloom and doom over the whole camp of Israel. And you know, people can do that when they come up with these negative, pessimistic reports. It just casts everyone else in a mood of despair. But then you remember there was that one group led by Caleb and Joshua who came back and they said, let us go up at once and possess the land. We're well able to do it. Why? Because God is with us. We know what the problems are. We know what the strength of the enemy is. We know that we're going to have to struggle along the way. But we can do it because God is with us. And you know, my friends, when we have a vision of God like that, we are not going to be pessimistic people. We read in 2 Kings chapter 6. That the king of Syria had sent the Syrian army to capture Elisha. They were marching against Elisha. And his servant came to him and he said, what are we going to do? We're just completely outnumbered. The city is surrounded. And Elisha turned to his servant and he said, fear not, for they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. And the servant looked in at Elisha in complete astonishment. All that he could see was himself and Elisha and the city surrounded by the Syrian army. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he may see. And 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17 says, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. But Elisha says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And can't you just see this servant looking at Elisha initially, as though he's out of his mind, as if to say, well, here I am, and here you are, and there are all of them. But when God opened the eyes of this servant, the presence of God was everywhere, and they went on to win the victory. So if God is with us, we can do whatever it is that God is calling us to do and to be. There's a second reason why I believe this church will go forward, and that's because of the spirit of the people. When Diane and I were early married, she was teaching school down in the town of Benson in Johnston County. And of course, Benson is known for mule days. Every year in the fall of the year, in September, the horses and the mules come in and take over the school grounds. But there was one little girl there who, along with her class, was given the assignment of writing a theme about a mule. And this particular little girl began her theme this way. She said, "A mule is an animal that's kind of backwards about going forward." Well, that's not the spirit of the people of New Hope Baptist Church. First of all, you're a people who love the Lord. Just like those people over in Macedonia. When Paul went over to take their offering, he says they just completely amazed us. For out of their poverty, they gave liberally. And he said the reason was they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And I know there have been so many of you, so many times, since you've been members of this church, who have expressed your love for the Lord in what you are and in what you've done since you've been here. Paul says, "I'm a servant of God for Jesus' sake." There was no doubt at all about his love for Christ. I heard about the man who went to his doctor some time ago for his annual physical exam. And when the doctor had finished, he looked at him and he said, "Well, Sam, I've got some bad news." He said, "We found a torpid liver." And he said, "Your salivary glands are beginning to dry up." Well, Sam, like so many of us sometimes, didn't quite understand the diagnosis. And so he went out of the doctor's office really down and in despair, a bit depressed. He ran into one of his friends on the street, and his friend said, "Sam, what in the world's wrong with you? You look like you've got problems." And Sam said, "Yeah," he said, "I do." He said, "I just left the doctor's, and he tells me there's a torpedo in my liver, and my salvation's drying up." I know the salvation of the people of this church is not drying up. You're a people who still love the Lord. And then you're a people who are grateful for your blessings. The psalmist says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" I looked up that little word, render, in Webster's dictionary. And one of the definitions is to give thanks for blessings. This is a good question for us to ask ourselves this morning. God has richly blessed the people of this church over something like 184 years. And you have so much for which to be thankful, both as individuals and as a church. And I believe that you're a people who want to show your gratitude by your continued commitment and dedication to the kingdom of God. Thirdly, you're a people who want to grow spiritually. Paul says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He was a Christian who was never really satisfied with his own personal spiritual growth. And so he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I think this is the spirit of the people of this church as well. We must never get to the place where we're satisfied with our own spiritual growth, because if we do, then we've stopped growing as Christians. Then in the last place, I believe this church will continue to go forward because we have a divine plan that will send us forward. Jesus says, "He that will save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life. That is to say, whosoever will give up his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. That's the Christian plan. Not to live selfishly, but to take up our cross and follow him. I remember on one occasion sharing with a retired minister in a service. He was almost 90 years of age, and he was getting so feeble that I had to help him down the steps of the church. But as we were going down those steps, he turned to me and he said, "Mark, I wish that I could start my ministry all over again. My life has been blessed by serving the Lord." Well, you know, I hope that our ministry has blessed someone somewhere along the way. But what I know is this, that our lives have been blessed as we've sought to serve God in the various places that we've been. I heard the story some time ago of a lost man who said to his pastor, "You preach that Jesus died for all people. Did he really die for me?" And the pastor told him again the story of the cross and explained to him that when Jesus died, he died not only for the whole world, but he died for him as an individual. But you see, this is the divine plan. This is a plan that will send us forward, a plan that will literally propel us forward into the future. A plan that God has provided that we might know of his mercy and love and grace. Dr. Jerry Wallace, recently retired as president at Campbell University in Buies Creek, Dr. Wallace was serving as interim pastor there at the Coates Baptist Church, where Diane and I served in the 1980s. And on his final Sunday there, the Sunday before Diane and I began, he gave to the congregation 5 points in 4 minutes. And I thought that would be pretty good if I could do that this morning on our next to the last Sunday with you, to make 5 points in 4 minutes. But the gospel, according to Dr. Wallace, is that the relationship between a pastor and people should include these five P's. And if you'll start them, and I'll say continue them with your next pastor, whether he's here 20 years, or 15 years, or 10 years, or 5 years, or 6 months, I believe that God will continue to smile on this congregation. Number one, be present. And I don't mean just be present the first Sunday or the first few Sundays that your new pastor is here. I mean be present every Sunday possible. And be present on Wednesday evenings. Your presence means so much to your pastor. Come with that beautiful New Hope smile that we've seen here from Sunday to Sunday. And whenever you can, to the glory of God, be present every time you can. It means so much to the work and ministry of a local church. And it causes a preacher's heart to be gladdened. Number two, be prayerful. Pray for the ministry here. And be sure to pray for your ministry staff. And pray for them every day. I know no one who needs the ministry of prayer more than the pastor and the pastor's family. And remember that your pastor's family comes to you as a unit. It's not just the man in the pulpit. It's the entire family serving as a team, working together as a team to serve the church. Number three, be perceptive. That is to say, read your pastor. Now, don't read more into his actions and his words than is reasonable and possible, but he will be a very visible person because of his being before you every Sunday. And always remember that the pastor and the pastor's family is going to have their ups and downs and overs and unders and ins and outs and joys and sorrows and victories and defeats, just like you do. Be perceptive of that. There have been people in our lives over the years who have been that perceptive, and they've been a blessing to us. Be perceptive of needs, and then find ways of meeting those needs. Number four, I'd say be patient. And I don't know of anybody who needs patience more than preachers sometimes. You may not like some of the things your new pastor has to say, if he does his job and if he fulfills his prophetic role as a pastor. But if you are committed, and I know that you are, to the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ, even if he says some things that aren't exactly right, and he might, you have pledged to be patient with him. Keep up the good work and be patient with your pastor. The final P that I wanted to mention something about is be productive. Be productive. There is so much to be done in this beautiful facility that people know as New Hope Baptist Church. And on this, our next to last Sunday with you, we ask the Lord to continue to give you the strength to do even better what you've already been doing, but then to be open to what needs to be done in the future and to be willing to do it. And then as you come to this place from Sunday to Sunday and from Wednesday to Wednesday and from day to day, you'll rejoice together and present it all for the honor and the glory of God. I'm sure that in our perception, we're going to feel excellent vibrations coming from this church. And I and I are going to be looking and listening to hear about what I know will be the finest relationship possible between pastor and people. We want to say we thank you. We give our love and gratitude for our time together. And we truly believe that for you, the best is yet to be. I hope you believe that. And we look forward to being in the future an honorary part of the New Hope Baptist Church Fellowship. Will you join me as we pray together?